Good afternoon. Matinee with Bob and Ray. Good afternoon, friends. Sit back, relax, and listen now to Bob and Ray, a couple of America's favorite troubadours, wending their way down the street, posing as the street cleaners.
Thank you, Ray. And for my first song by popular demand, I'd like to do my well-known theme. Can't you hear me calling Caroline?
Good afternoon. Here's Lyle Gump.
Caroline. Can't you hear me calling Caroline?
Stop the music.
Calling for me, Carol.
I said stop the music.
Oh.
Well, I'll have to hang up. Call you back later. There's a lot of noise going on right now. Can't you hear me, Gump?
Hmm?
I say, can't you hear me calling Caroline?
We'll hear interesting stories. Stories you hear only when...
us, the folks, mumble. Good afternoon, friends. It's time now for stories that make up America. Stories that happen to little people like you. Well, I'm kind of tall, as a matter of fact, and me. Little stories that mean everything is completely sturdied here in America. For instance, you'll hear an old man, 165 years old, sing.
Can't you hear me calling Caroline?
How old are you?
165, and I don't feel a day over 130.
You don't look a day over 130, I'll tell you that. We'll also hear the story of a young man who saw his brother for the first time just yesterday.
I just yesterday saw my brother for the first time just yesterday.
You'll hear the amazing story of how the crawler was first curled here in a small town, Scio, Ohio.
Where was that again?
Scio, Ohio.
I was standing in the small town of Scio, Ohio, some 45 years ago.
You'll hear these and thousands of other amazing stories.
Of dough.
Only when us,
trying
the folks,
trying to make a new
mumble.
Kind of dough biscuit.
Play the theme music.
Well, maybe I'll make a donut or something.
But now here's Hildegard.
Thank you very much, Mr. Emerson. And our first story comes to us from a lovely little old lady in Lebanon, Tennessee, who's come all the way here to Boston to tell us her interesting experience.
I was carrying pails of water over the Panama Canal as a little girl.
I see, Mrs.
And I slipped and lost my false teeth into the canal.
You lost your false teeth in the canal, eh?
Yesterday, 45 years later, I was swimming at Nantasket Beach, and I put my hand in the water.
And what did you find?
I have a grapefruit.
Amazing, and thank you, Mrs. Sturdley. On a cold evening in March 1939, a young sheepherder was tending his cattle when he discovered an amazing situation. He walked back to the ranch house and said to his wife, Floribel.
Hey, Floribel, these here sheep are disappearing, you know.
Is that so?
Well, wait a minute, Floribel.
We have a small cast today.
Oh. Well, yes, dear. I feel so silly.
When did you first discover the sheep were missing?
Well, dear,
Homer?
This morning when I first went out to tend the sheep.
I think we had better call the sheriff.
All right, let us call him.
Ring twice.
I will be right over, the sheriff said.
So you called the sheriff, Fratmer, and then what happened?
I told the sheriff. I said, sheriff, 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 I said, my sheep are missing and they've been disappearing over the past 2 weeks. And he said, how long has this been going? On, I said, and on for 2 weeks.
So you told him this has been going on for 2 weeks, huh?
Yes, and then the sheriff said, and my wife agreed, and I said, well, what should I do? And the sheriff said that I certainly will.
What did the sheriff tell you to do, Fred?
Drop dead.
And you finally discovered that...
No, I dropped dead, which makes my story so unusual.
And here to tell that story, in her own words, the surviving member of the family, Mrs. Sturdley.
Thank you very much. What he said is completely untrue.
Amazing. Thank you. How far have you come for your story tonight?
Traveled 40 miles to be with you all.
Well, that's wonderful. And here's a little token of our esteem as you go back to your farm.
Thank you. Just what I wanted, a doctor's kit.
And come to see us again next time you're in the city, will you?
Oh, and the coloring book. Oh, and the musical top.
That's all you have there.
Oh.
No more presents.
Well, now then, as we look over the commercial situation, Bob and I are aghast, and we talk in excited whispers.
Ray, I'm aghast.
Yes. Commercial time.
Chesterfield satisfy women and men. Chesterfield over and over again. Milder, much milder, all smokers agree. Always by Chesterfield ABC.
Thank you very much, Hildegard. Beautiful music.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello, Arturo. What's
new? That was Bill Lawrence singing that.
I know. I just said Hildegard for the fun of it.
It wasn't Hildegard at all.
I know that, Arthur.
It's Bill Lawrence from Red Bank, New Jersey.
Yes.
Bill, how old are you?
13.
When did you first discover yourself?
Well, 13 years ago, Bob.
You were shaving, were you?
No, I ain't shaving yet.
I see. Are you going to sing a song for us a little bit?
What?
Are you going to sing a longer song for us?
I haven't planned on singing any songs today at all. No.
I thought maybe you were going to sing because.
No. Nah.
Well, let's try this little lady over here, then, and see what you're going to do.
I am a bird impersonating.
You're going to impersonate. How long have you been impersonating birds?
Well, for a good many years now.
Do you find anything particularly difficult in impersonating birds? Don't be nervous. Everybody's your friend here.
Well, then what's that knife doing in my bag?
What birds are you going to impersonate for?
What?
What birds?
Well, first, the African boldiff.
The African boldiff.
Yes.
I've never heard of
that. Sure, lad. Well, the reason I select those birds, nobody knows whether I'm doing a good impersonation or not.
All right, go right ahead. Go over to that special microphone there.
Shall I run over there?
Run over to that one there. Okay, do you want some musical background for this?
What?
Do you want musical background?
Yes.
Little bird music.
A little bird music, we said. Well, that's good. I thought that was taken out to the ball game.
First, the African boulder. Chicholop! Chicholop! Chicholop!
That's very good. Now, what other birds do you do?
I do the very rare North American crumlet. That bird has three wings. Better to eat you with.
How does he sound?
It's a she.
How does she sound?
Like this. Cordiat, Cordiat.
Could you make the music a little bit louder? I can still hear her. Now, your final one is what?
My final one is a rare bird I got at Peoria.
Ah, well, I don't think we have time for that.
Oh, all right.
Our time is up. And now let's have a brief reprise of all of our... First, the xylophone player from Red Bank, New Jersey.
You remember me? I played the xylophone from Red Bank, New Jersey.
Stars and Stripes Forever. Just play a little bit of it so we'll remember.
Oh, throw the bum out. No talent, strict.
No reaction to that one. And now the young coloratura soprano from Red Bank, New Jersey.
Throw her a haddock.
And finally, the fellow who imitated Cary Grant.
He's nowhere. Look at this. No reaction at all in this meter. It looks like you've come through pretty good again.
I guess I've got all the prizes then, huh?
Yeah. Hold on.
Wait a minute.
I want some volunteers to go with me to the pass.
Where you going?
There's some dirty work there.
Where you going?
To the pass.
Well, why don't we go to the pass first?
All right, you ride along with me.
Right-o.
Wait a minute, hold up. Wait till I get down.
I can't hold up. Once I get him going, I gotta keep riding.
Well, who's gonna get me up on my horse?
I don't know.
All right, horse, climb up on my back. I'll get him.
Hurry up. Hurry up. I'm still riding.
So am I.
Wait a minute, he's only riding on two legs.
Wait a minute, let's pull up.
Something wrong with this horse here.
Wait a minute, that ain't no horse.
By George, it ain't.
What is it?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. I've seen that animal before.
I think somebody...
Let's run!
Somebody done crossed up a wire someplace.
What's that?
I got a short circuit.
I noticed you're smoking. Chesterfields, I presume.
They are Chesterfields.
Yes. Well, then.
Let's have some music. 1:10.
Well, first of all, let's put it to the board of directors.
Let's have some music.
The question before the house, gentlemen, as you probably know, is should we have Ken and Bill play some music for us?
If you got to, yeah.
And, well, what...
what do you think? I mean, it isn't necessary. Albeit, certainly...
It isn't?
No.
Well, in that case, take the least alternative of the two situations.
Thank you, sir. Now I know why you're president. And here they are.
Be over that fast.
Just a moment, just sitting. Well, I'll try that song, as a matter of fact. That appears to me to be a very simple song to sing.
There's nothing to it, Ray, and it's all yours.
Now, first of all, as I understand
I've
it,
I've heard Como try to do this.
Moderato Schottisch. And I'd like you to play it very lightly, please. It's the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, friends. It's a magic song from Walt Disney's latest success, Cinderella.
Well, that's Cinderella. You anglicize it.
If your mind is... where do we start? Right at the verse here?
If your mind is in the... I'll give you that much of a help.
Well, I don't know as I could sing that. I'd like to get right over to the Bibbidi Bob division. Sailor Gadula, Manchika, Bula, Bibbidi Bobbidi Bobula.
Play it at 33, will you, Ken?
Put them all... Put them together, and what have you got? Bibbidi Bibbidi Bob. Doesn't even say that. I don't know if that's from some movie. I don't know. Maybe Bing Crosby's
that just latest. As you recorded the song?
Yes, on my magic label, Black Market.
Good. We'll be looking forward to seeing the first release.
There'll be a picture of me, too, on the cover.
Good.
Suitable for framing.
Will it be labeled you or Ray Dory?
Portrait of a Champion.
We going over to Linda's house today?
Yeah.
Well, big things happening, as I remember yesterday.
Yes, Linda fell in the wassail bowl, you know.
Life and Loves of Linda Lovely, written for radio by Carrington Love, starring Marcia Van Alshot as Sherman.
No,
Sturley
no,
Elm.
No.
I'm new on the program.
It's Marcia Van Alshot as Linda.
Marcia, let me write that down, will you?
Certainly.
This doesn't usually happen on most programs, but in this case, I've got to do it.
There you are.
Marcia Van Alshot as David, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Sherman L. Sturdley as Linda.
That's right.
Now I think I've got it. All right.
No.
Hold it, please.
No, it's Marcia Van Alshot as Linda.
As Linda.
Sherman L. Sturdley as David.
Now I have it.
And I'll play the part of David Hardware, counterman.
The Life and Loves of Linda Lovely. Excuse me, the organist's finger slipped off the keys. Will you try
it? Smatter, organist, have you been putting your finger in the beacon wax again?
I'm eating barbecued chicken.
Bring him over a mitten.
The Life and Loves of Linda Lovely, written for radio by Carrington Love, starring Marcia Van Alshot.
You've got to hurt your finger when you do that, Ken. Does it hurt your finger when you run it up the keys like that? It looks awfully painful to me. All right.
He has strong fingernails. He has the strongest fingernails of anybody I know. It's late afternoon as we look in at the small house halfway up in the next block.
David.
We see Linda and David seated before a crackling fire. Crackling nuts and talking over events of the past 3 weeks.
David!
Which happened to have been the holiday season in Rivers Mouth. The Christmas holiday.
David, the artillery band is outside.
Invite them in for cocoa.
Come on in, fellas, and have cocoa.
Hey, Linda, what's all that? Linda!
I don't know, David!
Wait a minute, Uncle Eugene. There's no room for the piano player.
Fortunately.
Say, Linda, what's all that noise downstairs?
The 385th Field Artillery Band dropped in.
Oh, boy, is there a guitar player with them?
They don't have a guitar.
Well, it's the first time I've heard anything like that.
What?
I say it's the first time I've heard anything like that.
Shh.
They may play something for you.
Play something for us, Field Artillery Band.
Be glad to.
I believe that's enough, don't you?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. That's enough. Thank you. Thank you.
Now.
Thank you. That's enough.
Linda, I've...
David, first, your hand is in the bowl. Wassail bowl.
So it is. I'm so excited about my forthcoming trip to Pretoria.
I presume you know your foot is in it, too.
That makes no difference to me now.
To me, it makes the world of difference.
For Pretoria tonight.
You're going with your bold...
Bold.
Bold.
Brave.
Brown.
Baggy.
Bold.
Band.
Bold.
Of banditos. Yes, I'm going with them.
Incidentally, how about you stay bald?
I have plenty of that.
Oh, okay. That's a new thing, friends. It's a new magic formula that removes uncomely fuzz from the top of your noggin.
But now, back to Linda and David.
Huh?
Who aren't saying anything in particular, so let's switch crosstown to Riversmouth Swank Romany Tea Room, where two men converse in excited whispers over their bowl of creamed egg on toast.
Hey, Fitch.
Yes?
There's an 8 o'clock train from the county seat arriving any time now.
I don't know. I don't know.
Wait a minute. Here. Have some of this.
That soup is awfully hot. I don't know if we can go back now. We remember we'll have to tell Mr. Faulkner what's happened here. And
Faulkner knows nothing of what's been going on here.
I feel he does. I think that Carlotta has been spying on us.
Oh, yeah, well, she's mixed up in this somewhere. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's mixed up in this.
Thank you, Shuffle. I don't know. It's amazing. I mean, I don't know. Do you know?
I don't know.
Well,
it's just amazing. Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, I mean, we should do something.
We should do something. Yeah, yeah.
Get over here. Let me whisper something in your
ear. Yeah, whisper. Yeah. Yeah. That's what we should do.
Let's do it then.
Yeah. Right.
Do it Monday.
Yeah, right. Give us time to think about it.
Or the weekend.
Right.
I wish I had one of those brooches you're wearing.
It is beautiful. It came to me from an anonymous sender through the mail this morning.
What is it?
I know all my listeners would like to receive one.
Looks like a giant...
Wait a minute. We're supposed to be back at Linda's house.
Looks like
we're
an elk's tooth on a picture of General MacArthur.
This is supposed to be back in the small house from Riversmouth.
Oh.
Hey,
is that a elk's
brooch
tooth you're wearing?
No, you're wearing it.
Oh.
On your lapel there.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Where did it come from?
From an anonymous sender. Somebody sent it in the mail to me, my darling.
I'll bet all of your listeners and friends would like to receive one just like it.
I am the only one made in all the world.
That would probably be too expensive to send to your many friends.
Oh, yes. Vastly.
Yes, it would. But it is beautiful.
If the sponsor could only think up some way that all my friends could have one.
Linda, I saw tomorrow's script, and I know he's already thought up that way.
He has? What's he going to say?
Don't give away these secrets, Uncle Eugene.
I think our announcer will say something later.
Maybe our announcer will say something
later. Excuse me, the phone is ringing. No, it isn't either. Oh, I was frightened.
I think your collar is too tight.
No, it's the string of pearls you gave me, David.
Those are beautiful pearls. I know all of your friends would like to receive a string of pearls like those.
They're made out of genuine imitation leatherette.
Oh, if they could only receive a string of pearls like that.
But they couldn't.
I happen to be reading next month's script, and I know that the sponsor is going to send those out.
What do you know about that?
Well, here are two offers on the way for Linda's many fans. We'll have... We're supposed to have theme in there. Well, no, I don't think we do. We have to talk about Cynthia's candy today.
Boy, well, I'm awfully glad you brought the subject.
Did you get a box of Cynthia sweets for Christmas? Well, you're lucky. That's the way all after Christmas commercials start.
Supposing the answer was no, and you followed it up with, well, you're lucky. You see, that would have a terrible
right
effect.
But we don't hear what the answers are, so it's
but people always give answers, you know. Because when I listen to the radio and somebody says something, I always answer.
Like when you hear some Western character say,
what'd you say your name was?
Do you know what he's going to answer?
I didn't say.
That's what they always say.
They always say that. And usually the fellow that comes looking to get his payoff, he usually gets it, too. In the next room. That I know. And whenever anybody asks a question like, do you feel good? I always say, nah. I feel pretty badly about it, too. I always answer radio announcers, and I imagine everyone else does. So when we ask you this question, what are you doing in this, the atomic age? I want
you
that
answer. You answer no.
Certainly. And then send it along to us, and we'll send you by return mail nothing wrapped in cellophane that's suitable for framing.
And these, what are we talking about? Cynthia sweets?
Candy. They're chocolates, friends.
They're what, filled with different things.
What they are, they... Well, they are. They take this stuff, and they put chocolate
Even
on
Cynthia herself doesn't know what's in those chocolates.
They put a little cute curlicue on the top of all these chocolates. No Tonys. And I don't know how they do it, but they have these lovely curlicues, and they have different flavors on the inside. They have caramels, and they have orange flavor.
Well, the curlicue flavor that goes that way, it's a caramel inside.
Oh, that's right. I never knew
that. That's a code, you know.
I know it is.
Candy makers use that as a code. Now, if it goes that way, it's either lemon or black raspberry.
Mm-hmm. If it goes this way.
If it goes that way, it should have been taken out of the box. They got it in there by mistake.
Well, I have a box of those that should have been taken out.
Just bring it back to me.
In care of you and care of this station.
Right.
I see.
And I'll replace it.
Well, tell me, what goes into these candies? I mean, sugar?
Sugar they use.
Uh-huh. What else?
I wouldn't want to go into the long list of fine, fresh ingredients they do use because I don't know what it is.
All I know, friends, is they have an expedition in Africa securing the rarest Sturdleys for their chocolates. And I know that that will come as good news to all you Sturdley lovers.
It's supported by the Cynthia Research Foundation.
That's right.
They've uncovered a lot of old ruins over there, too.
What's that again?
They've uncovered a lot of old ruins at the same time.
Hello, folks.
Hi, Mary.
Awfully good. What? I thought
Hi.
Somebody called me.
Yeah, well, we could use you.
You're not selling those candies very well. I was listening outside, and I know that if I was Cynthia, I wouldn't be happy with what you're doing.
Well, of course you're not, but what would you say about them?
Well, I'd say that they're umphy.
What?
Umphy.
Umphy.
Yes. That if you like ooh-la-la flavor in chocolates, you'll certainly love Cynthia sweets.
You mean you're adding a French touch to this, huh?
Yes.
Well,
you love
good.
Them, really, friends. They're so nice.
You got a box of them for Christmas?
Yes, I did, Bob.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Caramels, nougatines,
mm-hmm.
Lemon flavors, yellow flavor, and listen to this. There was a purple color thing.
Well, you don't like those purple ones, do you?
No, I don't believe anybody does. Why do they go on making purple candy?
Imitation grape.
Something. It's usually that. Or sometimes they put a peppermint flavor with it and completely dumbfound me.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awful
Until
thing
it's
when
it's too
they...
late, huh?
It's terrible when they put a red flavor, or rather a red color with a lime flavor.
Yeah.
I don't know why they do that. But some people do, and it sets me off into a frenzy.
Well, it
because
does
when I see red candy, I want peppermint.
Sure. Well, that's understandable.
Well, it's a common requirement.
You told us today you were going to talk about New Year's Eve party celebration suggestions.
Oh, yes. I'd love to if I may take the few moments remaining.
Why, sure you can.
What I'd do, ladies, is, of course, invite friends. Now, don't invite people you don't like or people who don't like you. Because ordinarily those things just blow up long before midnight.
Someone loses his temper and...
And presto, the party and all the spirit has gone out the window and you go into the new year low in spirits.
I know. And that's what we don't want to aim for, isn't it?
No, we want to have an adequate amount of spirits. I don't know if
High
I like
spirits.
The way that that is worded.
Well, our writer...
Who wrote that script?
He was in a hurry this morning.
Well, you be seated.
We haven't had a chance to read this over. From here on out, we're just reading these cold.
Yes.
These lines.
And I wish somebody would shut the window. It's awfully cold in here.
I understand that Ken and Bill have a very special arrangement of something that they've been working on for a long time for today.
Well, before they play it, I think that we should ask them a few questions about their musical background. Bill?
Yeah, yes, Ray.
How long have you been playing the piano?
Well, let me see. I started piano back when I was about 7 years old, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever study under any well-known teacher, or did you pick it up by yourself?
Well, I picked most of it up by myself.
I know you can pick up the piano now. You're a husky young man. Well, don't pick it up now. Just drop
it. I wasn't. No, oh. I wasn't planning to pick it up.
Oh, I thought you were.
Then, for quite a while, I was with the Gene Goldcat aggregation.
I see. And from there, what happened to you?
From there, I went on to even greater things with Henry Buzzy.
Henry who?
Buzzy.
Where is he now?
Well, I haven't seen old Henny for quite a while.
Then, of course, I understand that you then joined the United States Marine Band as piano player.
I was with them for quite some time.
Wonderful. And you made the famous trip to Sturdley with them, as I remember.
I was the first accompanist for the Yacht Club Boys. Mm-hmm. That was my biggest.
I see. Well, how old are you now, Bill?
Mm-hmm.
I say, how old are you?
Well, I wouldn't want to say.
Okay. Well, we won't
ask. My wife might be listening.
All right. Well, what are you going to play for us today?
Well, I thought I'd play with the assistance of Ken Wilson.
I don't know if Mr. Wilson will buy that idea.
A little number that I wrote myself after I was released from the French Foreign Legion.
I see. And what was the name of that?
Well, the name, oddly enough, was the same name as this song we're going to play.
Exactly like that.
Exactly like that.
On bringing a package to the post office.
You wee song!
And, incidentally, was that a capsule version of that?
That was a Reader's Digest version of exactly like
that. I don't believe you played an entire song. I want both of you men in my office immediately following this program.
I'll bring the whip down.
And I have no advice for you either. I got a late bulletin for you.
What were you saying about before Christmas, what we did?
What's that? We were talking, you remember? And we did a skit where we went to the post office to talk to the kindly gentleman.
Well, you know, that's all changed now, though.
I know. Before Christmas, they're so sturdy.
Well, I went down there this morning with a package, and I walked up to the fellow. The place was practically empty. I walked up to the same fellow that used to be there. I said, maybe you remember me. I was... excuse me.
What?
Maybe you remember me. Uh-huh. I have a package I want to mail. I dropped in before Christmas, and I had a little trouble with the wrapping. This one I wrapped in rather a hurry.
Oh, that's fine. Just hand that in.
Well, I know, but...
Oh, that's
odd.
I have a little
maybe...
string here. I can tighten it up myself for you.
Well,
I'd be glad to do it.
The corner is coming through the paper there, though.
Oh, that's all right. That's
will it
fine.
Go that
I'll
way?
Put a little... I carry some Scotch tape with me.
Hey,
I buy it.
That's very
nice. Coming to work every morning.
Buy it out of your own money, huh?
Yes, uh-huh.
Gee, that's wonderful.
I just want to take care of you folks. I know wrapping a package is a disagreeable task.
Well, it is pretty tough. You remember I came in before Christmas and you gave me kind of a tough time with the packages, maybe.
Oh, I don't remember acting that way at all.
It was you, I think.
No, I don't believe you. I believe you probably had me confused with somebody else.
Well, thanks very
much.
No,
I'll take care of that. And look, I'll pay for it too, young man.
Well, thanks.
No, I'll put the stamp
on. Oh, let me pay.
No, I wouldn't hear of it, really.
Oh, gee,
I like your looks.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck to you, boy, and if you get work right.
Okay, thanks. Mark,
what is your address? I'd like to send you something.
Oh, wonderful. You don't need to do that, though.
What size formaldehyde do you wear?
The, point of signing off has come.
The preceding program, friends, was given to you in real beautiful off-color, black and white. And we'll be back again tomorrow at 1 o'clock at this same time. 1, 2, 3,
the same
3
spots
o'clock.
On your dial, 850 and WHDH.
I can't read a clock, friends, so will you look at it and figure out what time we started? Hang on.